नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं जयं कीर्तये नश्प्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6, entitled Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away, text number 61 to 63. So we'll read text, read and chant text 61. Vaishampayana Shishyavai चरकाध्वरयो भवान् यच्चेरुर्ब्रह्महत्याम् क्षपणं स्वगुरोर्व्रताम्। वैशंपायन शिष्या, द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ वैशंपायन। वै, इंडीड, चरक, named the Charakas, Atharvayavah, authorities on the Atharva Veda, Abhavan, became, Yat, because, Cheruhu, they executed, Brahma Hatya, due to the killing of a Brahmana, Amhah, of the sin, Shapanam, the expiation, Swaguru, of their own Guru, Vratam, the vow. Translation by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. The disciples of Vaishampayan became authorities in the Atharva Veda. They are known as the Charakas because they executed strict vows to free their guru from his sin of killing a Brahmana. There is no purport. We will just chant translation responsibly. The disciples of Vaishampayana became authorities in the Atharva Veda. They were known as the Charakas because they executed strict vows to free their guru from his sin of killing a Brahmana. Text 62. Yajnavalkasya tat shishya ahaho bhagavan kiyat charitenalpasaranam charishye ham sudusharam. Translation. Once Yajnavalkya, one of the disciples of Vaishampayana, said, O Master, how much benefit will be derived from the feeble endeavors of these weak disciples of yours? I will personally perform some outstanding penance. Text 63. Ityukto Guru Rabhyah Kupito Yahyalam Tvaya Viprava mantra shishyena mad adhitam yajashviti. Translation. Addressed thus, the spiritual master Vaishampayan became angry and said, Go away from here. Enough of you, O disciple, who insults Brahmanas. Furthermore, you must immediately give back everything I have taught you. Purpose. Sri Vaishampayan was angry because one of his disciples, Yajnavalkya, was insulting the other disciples who were after all qualified Brahmanas. Just as a father is disturbed when one son mistreats the father's other children, the spiritual master is very displeased if a proud disciple insults or mistreats the guru's other disciples. Om Akhyanti Jnandasya Jnanam Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Surupadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Vandayate Girim Yastipatam Aham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatavidyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in these three verses there's a nice description of guru and disciple. It's not a very pleasing incident that happened, because one of the disciples got proud because of his great penances that he was capable of, and then he was chastised by the spiritual master to correct him. But before that, as we know, we are here in 12th canto and it's the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this 6th chapter is entitled Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away. In the beginning verses there is description how he passes away, the snake bird comes and bites him. So actually Parikshit Maharaj is such a great devotee, so and he should be glorified so much, that we'll discuss little more about him today. That a great devotee is it's a real example. He's a person Bhagavat. He's such exemplary that everyone should just watch his actions and hear his words and then follow them, and then we'll reach the perfection. So we see here about Parikshit Maharaj, he is such an exemplary devotee that there is so much described about him in Srimad Bhagavatam. Starting from first canto, in first canto, 12th chapter, it's entitled The Birth of Emperor Parikshit. So there it's described how he was born and what all took place. And here in the 12th canto we see when he passes away. So whole pretty much life history is described of a pure devotee. So there in first canto it's described, and as we have discussed in previous classes, many devotees have discussed this, how Parikshit Maharaj was saved from the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama by Krishna himself in the womb. And then when he was born his father was not present. His father was Abhimanyu, who was killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. So when he was born, his grandfathers were there, Yudhishthir Maharaj, headed by Yudhishthir Maharaj and Arjuna and others. So when he was born, they were very happy because he was the higher, or he would continue the dynasty, and he was the king, next king. So everyone was very happy, and Yudhishthir Maharaj called different sages, to bless the child and to hear from them, what the child is. So generally, this is a Vedic tradition that when a child is born, then different astrologers and sages would come. They would predict what the child's nature and the character is. So same was done for Parikshit Maharaj. So when he was born, various sages and astrologers came, and actually astrologers predicted already that he would be a great devotee. And in 12th chapter of first canto there is big description, many verses, all his qualities, many qualities are described, that he would be very great, very merciful, munificent, like that. And comparisons are made, he would be like Shiva in this quality, like Manu, like that. Various comparisons are made. So it was from his birth, it was clearly from his charts, they could see that, oh, he's a great devotee. And then it's very strange that we know that that he came to know about his passing away 7 days before. Okay, so we have heard that he came to know about the curse of the Brahmana boy, that okay, a snake bird will come and bite you. But actually it's given there in first canto. At his birth itself, the astrologers predicted that. And the astrologer said that, this child will pass away in this way. There would be a snake bird who would come. And before that, a sage, son of Vyasdev, would speak to him about glories of Lord Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was already predicted at his birth. So, and also it's described there that one of the qualities, as we know, from birth itself he was a devotee, even before birth, from the womb, because he saw Krishna, and when he came in this world he was searching for Krishna. So he was a great devotee already. So in second canto it's described that the word is described as sati, that he was very chaste. So satim word has two meanings, that chaste and existing. So there is described how it was already, the devotion was already existing in him. So that's the quality of a Nitya Siddha devotee. Nitya Siddha means he is always a devotee. He doesn't have to do sadhana to become a devotee. So these are the two, there are Nitya Siddha devotees and then there are sadhana Siddha devotees. So if we find out that we are not already a devotee, so then we have to do sadhana. So there are different rules and regulations that we follow to attain perfection. So Siddha means perfection. So if someone, so Parikshit Maharaj was Satim, like always already a devotee from his womb. He was always remembering Krishna. And furthermore, it's described in about Nitya Siddhas, it's described that how they actually never forget Krishna. Although they are in the material world and there are so many miseries and so many circumstances they face, but they always remember Krishna all the time. So that's the quality of Nitya Siddha. Nitya means always, like that. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the story is given of Sakshi Gopal, that how there were two Brahmanas that they went on pilgrimage, and there's a long story, but it's described that they both were Nitya Siddhas. And how to know if one has a doubt, am I a Nitya Siddha or do I have to do the sadhana? Because rules and regulations are hard. So what if, if I was a Nitya Siddha? So there is a simple test, So there is given, the DT used to talk to them. So DT said, you are my eternal devotees and I am very happy with you and you would always serve me life after life. So we don't have to be in confusion whether we are Nitya Siddha or Sadhana Siddha. So from childhood we didn't have much, some of us may have. For those who didn't have remembrance of Krishna, but fortunately we came in touch with Krishna consciousness, so just by following this process of devotional service we can get perfection or the siddhi, or we can be situated in our original position as devotees of Krishna. So for Parikshit Maharaj it's clearly said that he is a Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavat devotee. And the second meaning of the word Satim, which is referred to Parikshit Maharaj, is chaste, that he is very chaste. Of course, chaste is generally used as in chaste wife, very faithful to husband. But same there, the word chaste is used for Parikshit Maharaj in the sense that he was very chaste and in his devotion towards Krishna. So he never deviated from his affection towards Krishna. So that's the goal for us. That's, we have to become chaste. For these last few millions of lifetimes, we have become unfaithful and we have been circumambulating in this cycle of birth and death. But now we have to learn how to become chaste and faithful to Krishna and devotion to Krishna. So like that. And in Bhagavatam there is many stories of devotees who are chaste in big sense, and also of women who were very chaste to their husbands, and then they achieved perfection. Actually, there is a story in one of the Puranas. It's a very interesting story. There's a few lessons to be learned in there. So once there was a brahmachari. So he was just traveling from one place to another. He didn't have any home, and he was doing different. He was always chanting Vedic mantras and doing different sacrifices. So he became very proud of his position. So and his fame also spread, that oh, he's so renounced and he doesn't have a house. So this is such a danger. Although you have nothing, but still you can be attached to that fame, you know, that oh, people see, you know, people know that how renounced I am. So he became little proud. So once he took his bath at the bank of a river, and he after his bath he sat down, he was chanting some mantras, and he put his cloth for drying. Then a crane and a crow came, and they flew away with his cloth. So he became very angry and he started abusing them. So when he started abusing, they left the birds left his cloth on the ground, and they passed stool on it and they flew away. So he became so angry, and he just looked at them with his anger. And when he looked at them with anger, immediately the birds burned, and they burned to ashes like that. So then when he saw that, this was first time which had happened, and he saw, oh, then he became more proud that, oh, because of my penances and my austerity, see what power I have got. I've just burned these two birds. So he became more proud. Anyway, later on he used to, because he was a mendicant, he used to beg alms at different houses. So he went to one house. Now there was a couple, and a husband and a wife, a brahmana and his wife, and they were ideal couple, and the wife was very chaste. And at the time that this proud brahmachari reached the house, the wife was serving lunch, prasadam, to her husband, and she was in middle. So he was at the door, and she noticed that this brahmachari has come to beg alms, but she still silently continued her service to serve her husband. So when she finished serving and her husband finished the meal, and she washed his hands and feet, and anyway, then she went to the door and attended the brahmachari. So now brahmachari, because he was already so proud, and this woman, she took time to come to attend him, he became more angry, and with his red hot eyes he was looking at her. So the wife of that brahmana, the chaste wife, she started smiling, and she said to brahmachari, oh, why are you looking at me with these red hot eyes? Will you burn me like those birds? So see, he became very surprised that how does she know that I burned those birds with my power, you know. Anyway, he took the arms and he went back, and he was thinking, well, how did she know? Then he came back and asked that, how did you know? Then actually the fact was, because of her chastity and following her prescribed duties so nicely, she had this mystical power. She gained this mystical power, and she could see these events which were not taking place in close by. She could know. And then if the brahmachari, his pride was broken, and then he took some lessons from her that we should, you know, and how he was like a fake renunciant. Then he further took up his duties nicely. So there, in this story, we learn how just by being chaste to her husband, the wife gained so much power like that. And also another lesson to be learned, that we shouldn't be proud of our powers. If we have some skill, that skill is given by Krishna actually. So everyone has some skill or the other, but we shouldn't become proud. We cook well, or you know, we speak well, we read well, or whatever. We clean the temple well, or whatever. Whatever skill we have some skill or the other, but we shouldn't get proud of it. So we should just use that skill which is given by Krishna for His service. As Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that you just become my instrument. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachi. You become my instrument and you fight. All the warriors have already been killed by me. You just fight and kill them and you win take the credit. You win the glory. Like that. So this is one lesson to be learned. And same way we see, there are so many examples. In Bhagavatam, the example is given of Gandhari, how he was such a chaste wife, and she also gained powers just by being chaste. And we know that in the end, how Duryodhan came to her, and just by her glance, his body became like iron, you know, nothing could harm him. So like that, so because of chastity. So what we have to learn here is, to become, in a broader sense, to become faithful to Krishna. That we would never want to deviate from devotional service. It's very simple, as Prabhupada has said, just follow four regulative principles and chant the 16 rounds. If we stick to that faithfully, then we go back to Godhead after this lifetime. It's as simple as that. Like that. So further, so that's about Parikshit Maharaj, how we can learn from his example of being chaste devotee, like that. So further, if we see the today's verses that we read, here it's described how about the spiritual master and his disciple Vaishampayan and Yajnavalkya, that the interaction is given, how he misbehaved and then he was chastised. So what happened there was, somehow or the other, this guru, this sage Vaishampayan, had killed a brahmana. Somehow he was overtaken by ignorance, and then it's described in Mahabharata somewhere that he just killed a brahmana like that, and he wanted to atone for it. So his various disciples, they started to help him and started to do different. Taking strict vows, as it says. So they were concerned about their guru. So same way, a guru is always a disciple. Actually, is his mission. He doesn't have a personal mission. A disciple's mission is the mission of guru. You know? So as Prabhupada said, I have come to the West to fulfill my guru's mission. He didn't have any personal agenda. Personal motive. So he had his guru's order, and to follow that, so he took it to the heart and made that his mission of life, like that. So same way here we see that the disciples are trying to do that. So as we know, somehow this Vaishampayan killed the brahmana. So here it's given Brahma Hatya. So actually it's the greatest sin. In scripture it said the greatest sin is to kill a brahmana or a cow. That's Brahma Hatya. So why is it the greatest sin? Because a brahmana and a cow, they are very dear to Krishna. As we know, the mantra is Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanaitaya Cha Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namah. So brahmanas and cows are very dear to Krishna. So if one kills them, it's the biggest, greatest sin, and you get greatest punishment for that. Like that. So as we see in this age of Kali Yuga, the cow slaughter is very common. It's just going on. So we can see how what the result this current population would get. It's a heavy, heavy reaction they get. But of course, there is not much chance of killing a brahmana because there are not many brahmanas in Kali Yuga. So Kalau Shudra Samava, 99.9% population is Shudras. So people won't get the chance to kill a brahmana much. So in that sense, but here we see that Vaishampayan killed a brahmana and he was trying to atone. So these different sins are occurred, but if one is a devotee, all these sins, they are just neutralized. somehow or the other. As Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I take all the sin. You do not worry. Aham sarva papebhyo mokshishyami. I'll deliver you from all the sinful reactions. Like that. So just by following these simple devotional activities, as in Nectar of Devotion, the simple activities are given, 64 items of bhakti. So we do it daily in our morning program. So many of them are covered around 58, 59, like that. So as, and we know as we do Tulsi Aarti, so in the end what we circumambulate Tulsi, and what we say, Yani Kani Cha Papani Brahma Hatyadi Kani Cha Tani Tani Pranashyanti Pradakshina Pade Pade. By each step, by circumambulating Tulsi Maharani, so many sins are eradicated. And even the greatest sin of killing a Brahmana, that's also eradicated. Like that. So these items look very simple, you know, you're just circumambulating Tulsi Devi. Very simple activity, but the effect is much higher. We can't see that. So by reading about this and by hearing about this, we can appreciate what we are doing in our day-to-day life. By continuously hearing and thinking about, oh, what I am doing, why am I doing this? So by consciously doing that, we get more benefit, or the perfect benefit. Benefit would be there anyway, even if you do unconsciously, but better to do it consciously, like that. So further, we'll discuss how what's going on here is the description about different parts of Vedas is given. So initially, Veda is one. So there was only one Veda. But what happened? Vyasadeva, who is one of the incarnation of Krishna. So he was there just before Kali Yuga. He saw different anomalies in the age. It's he predicted that there is going to be a time which would be very degraded. So for the benefit of people, he wanted to do something. So there was one Veda, and he divided it in four: Sam Veda, Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, and Rig Veda. Like that. So it is said that it's just like, it was not very hard, or it's not like a story. We should not think that, oh, it's a story that, oh, Vyas, they predicted this would happen and Kali Yuga would come. But there is examples given how, like an astrologer by seeing your charts, he can tell what's going to happen, you know, for next these many months, the stars are not good, so do, you know, pay me this much. And anyway, he has that talent to read the charts and see future, near future. And the same, and another example is the astronomer, how astronomers actually, by seeing the positioning of various luminary bodies, they can actually predict that there would be a solar or a lunar eclipse at this particular time during this day. So in a similar way, in much broader sense, Vyasadeva had such power. With his vision, he could see, he could foresee there is a time which is going to come in which all the qualities of religion would fall down and deteriorate. So we should do something. So he divided the Vedas into four, and his disciple was Vaishampayan. He gave Atharva Veda to him to look after, and further to other sages. And then these sages gave to their disciples. So that's what's going on here. So in that context, we see how these sages are concerned about people in general. Of course, they have this devotion and mystic powers, but they are not just in a secluded place. They are doing their meditation, but they actually want to benefit the society. So that's why these Vedas are being further divided like that. So it's described that that these sages, as we see, you know, these people, because they have so much experience and knowledge, that the word in Srimad Bhagavatam is described, Vyasadeva is amoghadrit. He has transcendental vision, and he could foresee with his transcendental knowledge, he could foresee these events. So same way, we as devotees, we try to take shelter of advanced devotees who have this vision, who can help us and who can guide us, like that. So as we see in, you know, In general, if you see, if a person becomes old and he is pretty much, of course, whole life, if one is not a devotee, he is like a burden. But in the old age, you know, there are so many old age homes, no one wants to keep old people because they feel they are like burden. Of course, they were burden when if they are not devotees, and in old age also they become more burden like that. But if there is a devotee and he advances so much, he becomes like an asset. So here we see when the senior devotees, advanced devotees and elderly devotees, when they come, everyone wants to hear from them, hear from their experience, hear their experience and ask questions and learn from them and advance like that. So this is the difference, that if one is not a devotee, he is a burden like that. And in Srimad Bhagavatam also it said, if one is not following the scriptures, the instructions of the scripture, he is a burden on the earth like that. And I think Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, actually there is so many people say there is so much population and that's why there is hunger, and you know, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, there is no and Prabhupada also used to say, there is no overpopulation. If someone is born, means there is facility for him, all the necessities can be provided. But if there is one person who is not a devotee, that's a burden on the earth like that. So that's the burden. So so that's why we take these devotees become like an asset. So we take their shelter and we learn from them. So further, as given here, like this knowledge is being passed in disciplic succession. So disciplic succession is very important. So knowledge has to come through disciplic succession. No one can just say, oh, I know this, so I'm telling this. No, where did you get it from? Is that authorized parampara, authorized disciplic succession? So this is a very general point, that for any degree, we go to a authorized place and get the degree, and then our knowledge is certified like that. And this is being followed, this is a general rule in the society. Anywhere, to learn any art or any skill, you need to approach a qualified person like that. Even if, you know, when I used to watch TV, we used to see these terrorists, when they are trained. I think I saw a short clip about how these young boys who had this frustration, their some family members were killed and they had this frustration and they joined these what is it called, gangs or terrorist organizations, and they are trained. You could see how much focused they are. So one man was on a kind of stage, I think he was trying to teach how to shoot or something, and you could see how focused these young people were, these disciples. They were like very focused and constant. They were hearing this transcendental knowledge. So this is a general fact, to learn something and then they of course become advanced in the skill. So this is a general skill. To learn anything, you need to follow a spirit, an authority like that. So same way we try to learn this supreme knowledge, Raj Vidya. So this is the Raj Vidya. Any other knowledge is not the topmost. So we want to learn this topmost knowledge from topmost authorities. And we are so fortunate that we are in this organization which comes in Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we should take full advantage of it. So there can be many chains actually. There are four bona fide chains, four bona fide Vaishnav Sampradayas, and there are many other broken chains here and there. But we know that, you know, the example is like the cables. There are many cables, but if they are not attached to a proper source of power, there won't be any current passing through it. So as we know, this our ISKCON society, you can see the current, so much, it's like a live wire, it's So if we just touch it little bit, so we will get the spiritual current like that. So you should take full benefit of it like that. So further here it's given that how the etiquette is to be followed, that we are in the disciplic cessation and we take shelter of a guru, but we should also consider other disciples. We should not mistreat. So here it says this Yajnavalkya became so proud of his penance that, you know, he said, okay, I will, what are these your, he told his guru, oh, these other disciples of yours, they are just doing their feeble endeavors, it says. Don't worry about them. I will personally perform this, some outstanding penance. As we saw that Brahmachari, he became so proud. So if you can do some big penance, you know, there's a pride. So pride comes before fall down, as we know. So what happened? Then he offended. He offended the other disciples. And then the guru got so angry, and he said to the point that he said, "You give me back all the knowledge that I have given you. You give it back." He became so angry because of his pride, proud disciple. And then further we will see in further verses in this chapter, he gave all the knowledge back, like that. So we have to learn that how to respect all the devotees. So as we know, of course, God brothers, but as we know, Prabhupada is our Param Guru. So we have all the devotees who are trying to do some devotional service in our society. We have to be respectful towards all of them, like that. So that's the general principle we can learn from here. So furthermore, if we take, so what happens is, if we follow these rules very carefully, and not offending anyone by not offending and following all the rules and regulations very carefully, so then actually there is a change, a transformation in the heart. So in second canto it's described actually. By just following this process, so our process is we need to see some change. Otherwise there is no use. We can do everything externally, but if there is no change in the heart, so there is no use actually. So that's the goal, is the change of heart, like that. So there is described in second canto that if one chants the holy name of Lord, the main process, as you know, hearing, chanting, remembering. So if one does this process, so this is very natural actually. If you just do this process, it's very natural that there would be change in the heart, because that's how it works. If you chant and hear and remember Krishna, there would be change. But there it says, if it doesn't happen, means one's heart is made of steel. It's steel frame. So that's what it's given. So we can check by, you don't have to do a surgery or something. There are other means, or x-ray or something we can see. Some scan. We can see that is the heart of steel or just a normal heart. If it's normal, means there would be change. Just it's a matter of time. If we just apply the process carefully, so there would be change. So just by hearing, and how it works is, although in a bigger sense, if we see, generally day-to-day life, we become so familiar, we can't see the change in us. But if we see over a long time, there's a huge change. If we see, you know, what we were a few years back, there's a lot of change like that. So in a bigger sense, if we take this, if we are seriously applied, after this lifetime we can become fully pure, siddha, sadhana siddha, and we can go back to Godhead. But in a bigger sense, if we have been in this material world for millions of years, and we take couple of lifetimes to perfect, so that's not a bad deal. So there is a lot of change in the heart of living entity. So generally the heart is covered by so much dust of these material contaminations that it takes some time to clean that. So if we apply it correctly, so we can clean the dust very quickly. So Cheto Darpan Majram Bhava Madhava Agni Nirmatma. So there is very quick cleansing can happen. And for quick cleansing, actually there is it's given that how actually if there is a heart is covered with so much dust, so sometimes this holy name and these instructions, the spiritual instruction, they can't reach the heart. There's so much dust, so that's the barrier. So in order to reach there, we have to be submissive. It says submissive. So, you know, if one is submissive, then this transcendental knowledge can penetrate through that those coverings, those contaminations. You just have to be submissive. So in first canto, the verse is given that how it happens, how this knowledge actually penetrates through these coverings. So there it says, Yasyam vai shruyamanana krishne paramapuruṣe bhakti utpadyate pumsa shoka moha bhayava. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion and fearfulness. So here it says sprouts up at once, if you hear. So at once can mean, you know, this life, according to our application. If application is good, if we are submissive, then it's actually at once. As in case of Maharaj Khatwanga, it just took 1 second to become purely Krishna consciousness. Or even if it's one lifetime, two lifetimes, it's like pretty much at once in, if we consider millions of lifetimes. So we just have to be very submissive in hearing. And in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna tells Arjuna, if you surrender to me and apply this devotional process, so I will deliver you from this ocean of birth and death very quickly. So there is this word described. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also it's a chirat, achirat, very quickly, without delay. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is described, if you hear these pastimes with faith, so hearing is one thing, and with faith, if we hear this with faith, then very soon we will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So we have to have faith in these descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam. These are not stories, these are facts. So if we have faith that, oh, this is true. So for example, that story of Sakshi Gopal. So the deity is talking, deity is walking. So that's, if we have the faith, yes, this can happen. If we are purified, deity can talk to us. So then we will attain that perfect perfection very soon. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we just said. No, I have tried to search. It says there. It's mentioned in Mahabharata, Anushasan for 6th chapter or something. I tried to find it, I couldn't. So I wanted to find, but have you heard anything? Any other question or comments?
Can you mention Maharaj said in Maharaj Arjuna, how we learn from the Guru and then to the other?
Last week when Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was there, he was also telling, of course we follow all the orders of Guru, but of course we are not like robots, we also take some initiative sometimes like that. So as we advance, you know, we take up initiative, but then we take permission from Guru, is it okay? Because if we take a big initiative, of course there should be appropriate permissions from temple authorities and Guru. So then it comes in the line and then it's bona fide mission. Anything else? Yes.
Also, in Mahabharata's common example, Krishna is so benevolent in time, he has to be mindful of
That's a great example. Actually, when we had that Narayani Mataji's seminar on prayers of Queen Kunti, she was describing how in the 8th chapter of first canto it's described, Kunti Maharani is saying, you have saved us from all these calamities, like, you know, poison cake, arson, you know, Draupadi's insult, and now from this battle of Kurukshetra, from Ashwatthama's weapon, from so many things, but now you're leaving us, you know, and that's a greater calamity. So, and then Mataji, Narayani Mataji was explaining how after each calamity, actually, they came out better. After each calamity, and she was giving evidence how after each calamity they came out better. So for devotee, calamity is like a mercy of Krishna, a test of Krishna, and he becomes better and more fixed in devotional service. So, anything else? के ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद् भागवतम की शीला प्रभुपाद की, इफ आई गो प्रेमानंद जी.